when he started pulling up memes, I was like, I know these people did not pay like half their rent to like fucking like watch him play the D's Nuts video on the, thank God he had YouTube Premium, like Katy Perry said.
Oh my God, I was about to bring that up. When Katy Perry was like, I'm so glad he has YouTube Premium, I don't want to watch ads. Like,
hey there, gals.
Hey there, gals.
And welcome back to another episode of The Gals Guide.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Emily.
Happy Monday. Welcome back for another episode.
This episode is sponsored by The Rode Lip Glaze, Lip Gloss, YouTube Premium, and Susan Sarandon. That's who I want to, at least that's who it seems like Coachella is sponsored by. Yes. Because, of course, we're starting this Monday off with talking about this weekend at Coachella.
Yep. Yep.
Granted, we both participated
in Couchella.
Couchella. Granted, we are coming at this on a Sunday, so we haven't even seen Karol G perform, which I am actually really excited to see Karol G before, because people keep, like, it's Americans who keep underplaying, like, the Karol G aspect, and I'm like, she's like one of the biggest Latin artists like in the entire world.
Yeah,
like she's huge in Latin America.
Well, so we know it's going to be a good time. We know it's going to, we're going to be fed the content that we are desiring.
I want to see ass shaking on my TV screen. I'm lit.
Yes.
I'm lit.
Yes.
But I was texting Hannah my life thoughts as I was watching Coachella this weekend, and I want to first start off with talking about Sabrina, because we're going to get into the Bieber
of it all. Sabrina, wow.
That is the definition of a headlining act. I would rank that up there with Beychella.
100%.
Honestly, I would rank that with Beyonce as like one of the all-time greatest performances I've seen at Coachella, like with the theatrics and the dancers and the costume changes, the set design, the lighting design, how immersive it was for the crowd. Like it really was above and beyond. And I love that the last time she was at Coachella, she literally said that next time I'm here, I'm going to headline.
I love to have her
back for that. And one of the things I wanted to mention in it was the importance of having Susan Sarandon do her 10-minute monologue. First of all, Sabrina allowing Susan Sarandon to take up 10 minutes of this set time to do this 10-minute monologue of a older version of Sabrina looking back on her fabulous life that she had. It's giving Hollywood glamour. It's giving old vibes. And if you look at Sabrina's music videos, they're definitely an homage to different characters Susan Sarandon has played over the years.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Susan Sarandon has faced so much criticism lately within that industry because she spoke out in support of Palestine. She was her agents like quit after that, and she kind of was like blacklisted from Hollywood because she spoke out in support of Palestine.
Yeah.
And it was really cool, I think, of Sabrina to like give her that time. And I think so many artists, when they do headline, even when they just perform at Coachella, period, they have so many other musicians that are on the stage with them that they bring out as a surprise guest. And for Sabrina's surprise guest to be Susan Sarandon and Will Ferrell, like,
it was like iconic.
Samuel Jackson. Mean, like, it was just amazing.
It was unique and different. And I think a lot of thought went into it, and I loved it. And I like watching her in the car doing the monologue, I was like, wait, no, like Loki, you could definitely be Sabrina when she's older. Like the hair was so similar. I think it was just like, I could actually envision what the whole point of it was. So.
And I'm pretty sure the boy that came up at the very end of her monologue to like do the tap to pay was her co-star on Girl Meets World.
Wait, that's so cool.
I'm pretty sure that was him. I need to go back and look again. Yeah,
if that is the case, that's
I know great. He was there, though. I do know that he was there. But yeah, no, it was really, really sweet and special. I want to mention like one issue that I have with not just – it's mainly headliners that I've seen do this, but it's also been at other live performances in general, like not just at Coachella – that Sabrina did, Justin did, everybody's kind of done.
Yeah.
And it's a qualm that I have for the live experience of Coachella. I get that you are streaming it live at home and you have a much bigger audience that's at home watching it. I don't always like it when they play almost the entire show to camera. Because it does – I'm watching it from home. So, like, it's kind of perfect for me. But in a way, I'm thinking, like, as a person who loves going to concerts and a concert experience, like, that would diminish, I feel like, a little bit of
– Yeah.
The entire show. And I noticed that they don't do it at every stage, at least. I noticed it when Beyonce did her Christmas halftime show, which makes sense. It is a once-in-a-lifetime show kind of thing. It's going to be on Netflix. And Bad Bunny did it with the Super Bowl. They always do it with the Super Bowl, I feel like. Yeah,
the Super Bowl feels very, like, camera-oriented.
I feel like definitely the Super Bowl halftime show is for the people watching at home. It is not for the people.
I mean, you can't really see them that well, Eddie.
No. And I will make the exception, like, with, I mean, Bad Bunny, just because his entire, like, halftime show was iconic. And
yeah.
That is the level I expect from male performers. Mm-hmm. But I did have that note a little bit. I was like, God, we're looking right at camera. Me personally as a director, I like when the camera's more omniscient and, like, it's just, like, you don't even realize that it's there.
Yeah.
Like, when they're breaking that fourth wall and looking directly at camera, like, it gets a concert. But I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I like it when we just forget that we're watching this, you know, on a camera.
Because then it makes it feel like you're actually there experiencing it.
Yes.
Versus I like it when watching it like we're – like they were doing it for us, basically.
Yes. Yes. I like it when it just feels like I'm at the concert and not watching like a show. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's just like a little tweak I had that I noticed with a lot of performances. But I watched like a lot of different shows at Coachella this past weekend and I really was enjoying a lot of them. But I want to know your thoughts before we move on to.
Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest. I only watched Sabrina and Justin. And loved Sabrina. I mean, her vocals, first off, the microphone was on. And I love the little, like, changes that she did melodically. I thought it gave the song, like, a new vision, which was really, really fun. And I just love the theatrics. Like, I love musical theater so much. And when I think of, like, a headlining set, I'm expecting a lot, especially for the amount of money that it is to attend shows nowadays.
I mean, yeah, especially Coachella, it's upward like thousands of dollars.
Especially Coachella. Like
minimum, I mean, like 700.
Right, because, I mean, you do, like, it's expensive. And so I loved it because I felt like she like had a budget, clearly. She went all out, which I think is just like really fun and it makes the experience really special for the people that do invest the time and money and energy to go. So I loved it. I just think that she is like a showgirl. And I think that like she is the epitome of what I think Taylor Swift wanted her album to be. Like, in this sense,
1,000,000%. She is the real life version of Sharpay Evans.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
100%. And I also think too, like, watching her headline, watching the set, watching how incredible of a performer she is, I still cannot believe she did not win a Grammy for that album.
For Man's Best Friend. Man's Best Friend.
At least one. So I'm really happy for her. I think that she is, you know, she is our pop star right now. I think that she is really just doing such a wonderful job holding that title. And I'm really excited to see where she goes from this. Because I think this is only going to continue to elevate her career. So I'm very excited and I loved it.
The only time I will say at watching the show, and you're going to think that's the moment, I got FOMO for not being there. Because one, I can get it easily from concerts because I just like a concert. I love live music. I'm always down to go to a live music show.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter the artist. But I watched the XX perform before Sabrina went on. And I love the XX. I listened to them when I was in college. I did a lot of dances to their songs. And this is a point that I wanted to make before we move on because I for them, they are very minimalist. It's mm-hmm. three people.
Yeah.
It's literally three people in this entire group. And they – one of the most popular songs has no lyrics to it. Intro. It's literally an intro to their first album. Like, it's literally
– That's crazy.
You've heard it. I know you've heard it. It's on everybody's sex playlist. I'm so sorry. Okay. Like, it's on every single, like, lo-fi intimacy playlist. Like, I swear to God. But it is – I think the sound of like a, it's the song of like a generation. Like if you grew up on Tumblr, like in 2012 and like were in that like grungy phase, like you fucking know the XX, and for them to close out their set with that song, it was so cool. And I think that's a way you can do minimalism. Excellent.
Yeah.
And it really just added like, I think a core of what Coachella used to be, where it was yeah. centered around rock music and it was centered around this alternative like scene. And I was really happy to have them back on that stage. And I've watched, like I said, I've watched a lot of other people. I watched Addison Rae.
How is that?
I cycled while I was watching Addison Rae. And you know what? Good for her. Good for her. She had her dancers. They were going all out. I loved mm-hmm. watching them. Mm-hmm. You know, she just looks like she's up. She is so happy yeah. to be there. Yeah. And she was like running through the crowd, like the poor cameraman was trying to keep up with her, like God bless him. But like he didn't.
Well, and that's a true testament of somebody who is literally there for the experience, not even for the yes. like camera. Like we're yes. just running through the crowd, having a good time, and everybody's here, and we're just gonna have fun with this.
She literally was like asking security, like, "Can I go here? I don't care. I'm going." And then like jetted off into the crowd, and her security's like, "Oh God, oh God, like,
oh my God, we had one job, we had one job."
And she's just like, she just wants to be in the group with her fans. Like, she's just so, that is mm-hmm. the definition of somebody who's just very appreciative to be there. I will also say, I'm trying to find footage. I want to watch the entire Slater set, because Slater went on at 3 p.m., which is the same time, in the Mojave tent, which is the same time that Chapel Roan went off a couple years ago. And the crowd that Slater drew at 3 p.m.
yeah.
was massive. I think Dang. That she is going to have another like rise. I've seen Slater before because she opened for Fletcher when I went yeah. to go see her on that tour. Mm-hmm. And she's definitely for a much younger crowd. Like it's definitely like I'm going to like the club, I'm going to Tao, I'm going to like One Oak, you know, going to Vegas like all the time. Like it's definitely party girl music, very a la like Charlie, I would say, but it's still like a lot of fun. And yeah. I loved being able to see that. I liked watching David Guetta and, you know, just wishing I was back in
Ibiza. I know.
Ibiza.
Oh, my goodness.
I would honestly stay in the DJ tent, like, the entire time if I could go because that would just be yeah. a vibe.
Well, and
the entire time.
I'm going to be honest. That feels more Coachella Festival
yes.
than, like, these headlining pop. I mean, love Sabrina. Love like all the people that have headlined, but like
that, the Strokes playing before Justin is the definition of Coachella as well.
It's not giving like that festival energy to me yeah. always. It feels a lot more mainstreamed than I think the intention of Coachella was from the very beginning. And correct. Wasn't the whole purpose of it for it to be more affordable and to say like fuck you to Ticketmaster, and now it's so incredibly expensive to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's these are my qualms with these things, because I feel like they start from such a very good place and then popularity and just like pop culture just takes them to another level, and they kind of
it turns into an influencer brand trip.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like really why does. Do I know so much about what's going on in the poppy houses?
Honestly, I will say the only house that I would have wanted to be in this year was the Barbie house. Oh my gosh.
I've seen the Rivian houses, okay, and those looked nice.
Clara Pierce and Danielle Carolyn stayed at the Barbie house. They went with Barbie. Which okay. is so cool.
They went with Mattel.
It was it was a vibe. It was a vibe. But yeah, I do fear that it's lost a little bit of that like festival like.
I will say the one time I have gotten FOMO, another time I have gotten FOMO this entire weekend, was Levity, the DJ, brought out Big Sean to play Ass. The Ass Dance.
Yes.
Whatever the clean dance slash Ass, whatever the song is called.
Uh-huh.
And I was yes. like, I would have lost my fucking mind. And I think that there was an after party or like another like activation tent that had John Summit. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Not John Summit. I would have died. So
like those would have been really fun to go to.
Yeah. 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 Like David Guetta brought out J-Lo and I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yes.
So those things have been really cool. And now is the part where if you are a believer, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. Like you should probably exit.
You're not going to like tune in next week. I'm so sorry.
Just skip.
I want to preface, neither one of us has been believers either.
No. No. I like a couple of his songs.
I like some of his songs. Like I love the Beauty and the Beat.
I love Where Are You Now That I Need Ya.
I love Diplo. Like I love Where Are You Now? I love Sorry. I like As Long As You Love Me. Like, I like some of his, like, hits.
That's really all I know. Oh, and the only one off the new, I'm like in the city. Remember you could drive a Yukon. Yukon? I like that one.
Okay.
But I would never call myself a believer. Like, I was not into Justin like that. My sister, on the other hand, had a cardboard cut out of Justin in her bedroom. So, like, I mean, Jonas.
I can't say shit. I had a poster of Nick Jonas.
I was too obsessed with the Jonas Brothers to get into the Justin Bieber of it all.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely think that was my Justin Bieber was the Jonas Brothers, hands down.
Yes. Yes.
And if the Jonas Brothers did what Justin Bieber did last night,
I would be incredibly,
incredibly disappointed.
I would still, if any artist that I like, I don't, there was like, if Taylor did this and people would be so happy. No.
I would be pissed. Well, after watching the Eras tour, if I went to Coachella and I paid the money and Taylor Swift was headlining and Taylor Swift pulled some shit where she pulled up YouTube, do you know how mad I would be?
Any artist, Ariana, any of them, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, I literally have paid my month's rent to be here. Mm-hmm. And to me, you can do a minimalistic show. You can do a stripped back show. You know how to, Justin is a musical prodigy. I will say that. 100%. He does have an incredible voice and the mic was on for sure.
Oh, he's very talented.
Super talented. And the man can sing. Every time he sings, I'm like, oh my God, I forget. Like, this is literally Justin Bieber. And like, you were literally like a child prodigy. Yeah. And he can sing. He can play so many instruments. You can do a stripped back show and it still feel intentional. And like, there was effort put into it. And I think the idea of fans saying, like, when he pulled up, basically, if you didn't see it, Justin Bieber, like halfway through the show, is literally sitting there on the stage in a motherfucking hoodie on his MacBook Pro laptop, scrolling through YouTube of old music videos of his songs and basically doing karaoke, essentially like what I do with my friends when I'm drunk at 2 a.m. and I come home from the bar and we're like, I'll play music videos. And like that's literally like what I do. It's giving, like Zara Larsson said, it's giving come over and smoke and watch YouTube videos with me.
1,000%. Like, I was like, I feel like we're just, like, chilling in the backyard. We're, like, grilling up some things. We're, like, going down, like, memory lane in front of thousands of people.
You could do this at the Troubadour. You could do this at the Roxy. You could do this at an intimate
show. That's what I said.
Show.
Like, I was like, I feel like this was meant, like, okay, all jokes aside, like, that boy is hurt and he's healing. And I'm so grateful 1,000%. that's happening for him. But that part of that set, that was only for the believers. That was only for the people that have been with him day one in an intimate concert setting. Sure. That would have been cool. Yeah. That would have been fun. It would have been like, it would have felt very personal. But we're at fucking Coachella. This is
I understand.
This is the main stage.
That he, because everybody's also saying like, well, he's 32, doesn't have energy anymore. Beyoncé was 36 and just had twins, first of all.
But I also don't like the narrative of like, oh, well, he is who he is, so he can just do whatever he wants.
Because he's put in the years, the decades.
No, you're supposed to just, you get better. Or if you want to pivot, like pivot in a way that makes sense. But I feel like that just lowered the bar of performing at main stage on Coachella.
I would have much rather him done what he did at the Grammys. Like, you literally get on an electric, do what Ed Sheeran does, get on an electric guitar, a loop pedal, a singular solo stage in the middle of the crowd, spotlight directly on you, and you're just doing an acoustic set the entire night. You do a medley of your old songs. It would feel intentional, and mm-hmm. I would be fine with that because it would feel stripped back. It would feel more intimate.
Yeah.
And a juxtaposition is what a lot of people are expecting. Yes. And it would feel like, again, like there was intention behind it. Whereas this felt like you just thought of this like yesterday. Like when he started pulling up memes, I was like, I know these people did not pay like half the rent to like fucking like watch him play the D's Nuts video on the, thank God he had YouTube Premium, like Katy Perry said.
Oh my God, I was about to bring that up. When Katy Perry was like, I'm so glad he has YouTube Premium. I don't want to watch ads. Like,
I was waiting for him to type in something like on his like keyboard and like a Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber video pop up. And he had to be forced to reconcile with that.
The fact that he was just willing to just open up YouTube and just search things, like he had a lot of trust in his YouTube search engine.
Oh my God, but he's relatable. Like, that's just Justin. If any woman, any female performer did that, they would be ripped to shreds in Rolling Stone and Pitchfork and The Guardian and every single public form mm-hmm. telling them to strip their Grammys from them, that they are not a good artist.
1,000%.
It is proof that women still have to always go above and beyond. And because he's also getting, he's the highest paid Coachella headliner.
I know. $10 million. Like $10 million? That's crazy behavior to sit the only on there reason with your MacBook for $10 million.
Beyonce got offered $10 million, but she did not. She settled for less because that $10 million would have included her owning Coachella owning the rights to that performance.
Oh, no.
But by taking less, she was able to sell that performance to Netflix and then make $20 million off of that.
See, this is why we have women, because they're smart.
Yes. You can, like, Ed Sheeran does these huge shows where he is stripped back. You can do that. It's 1,000%. I just hate that people always just, they don't hold male performers to the same caliber as women and justify by saying, like, he's put in the years for it. So is Lady Gaga. So is Beyonce. They've done the work. They put in the years. You would have literally told them that they are washed up and they need to stop performing if they did the same exact shit. Like, the energy when he brought Kid LAROI out was, I loved it.
That's I was like, let's keep expecting. That up. I was expecting that. I honestly was expecting us to be jumping around on stage. Not maybe the whole time. Yes. I understand. You get tired, whatever. But like, the Where Are You Now energy, that's what I was expecting. Like, that was the kind of throwbacks I was expecting from him.
Like, Justin, I get you love swag. Swag has some hits. It's midnight. It's midnight. I'm getting I'm sleepy.
Or start with swag and end with the like fun. I don't know. I digress. But like, I just was expecting more from him. Especially when people are like, he is the Justin Bieber. I'm like, yeah, he is. So where is he?
You're proving my, and like in that, you're proving my point exactly that well, he's Justin Bieber. He can get away with this. Because he's a man.
Yeah.
And I wanted to like reference something.
Taylor Swift came up and literally pulled up YouTube videos of herself and sang with the same track. It wasn't even like he redid. Like, I would have liked to hear him just sing One Less Lonely Girl as the Justin Bieber now. Like, Miley Cyrus redid The Climb. Like, put in the effort to actually sing it. Don't sing over your own freaking voice. If Taylor Swift did that, crucify. They would literally
Well, everybody kept
her.
Saying that, like, well, he sold his master, so he doesn't have the performance rights. That's not how that works. Taylor Swift literally did not have the rights to Reputation, yet still did that on the Eras Tour. Yeah, like, that's literally not how that works.
I'm pretty sure him playing the actual song was worse.
That's more copyright.
Than
yeah,
him
exactly.
Just singing it.
Yeah. Like, the whole idea of him singing with his younger self could have actually been really interesting and poetic.
Yeah.
If there was like an ounce of effort put into the overall performance. Like, the idea of him singing this track by himself and on the screen, you had the music video playing behind him. Mm-hmm. And I think just the message just gets lost in the afterthought of it all when it just feels insulting when you're comparing it to other past shows. And like The Weeknd, like when he headlined, that's a man doing a great headlining performance. Like, there was lights involved and it was very like minimalist on the stage, but there was still an energy that was brought to the entire performance. And everybody's like, well, were you expecting like pyrotechnics? Just a simple light design
No.
Can do wonders. It doesn't have- lasers can, as somebody who's been to Ibiza, lasers can truly do wonders, because all you're doing is watching, with DJs, all you're doing is watching a man on a stage just, you know, like, just spin records. But they still are able to make it entertaining with just a couple of lasers and light shows and, you know, things like that. Like, it's just like a little bit of effort. And I just, all the people defending him are just more women.
And I'm like, well, and I think that's like, I'm sure people think the same thing of some of the Swifties, but like, I fear the believers will defend that man no matter what he does. No matter what he does. And whatever. I'm going to continue on. I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was underwhelming.
Yeah.
I think
it would have been nice if it would have been an acoustic set, because you could have like done like a, he could have played it off as like it's a Kurt Cobain, MTV Unplugged-esque performance.
Like, just a like simple band would have been nice. Like just something to elevate it to the next level. And I fear nobody helped him plan this set.
I just fear everybody is going to keep calling like women lazy, like when it comes to their shows, and I don't really want to ever hear anybody say that ever again when it comes to what him and Frank Ocean have pulled during their headlining acts at Coachella.
And so he performs again next weekend, correct?
Yes, and I will be watching Worship instead.
I wonder if I wonder if anyone is like pissed, like they're like going into weekend two, they're like, this is what we have to look forward to. Cool. I wonder if it'll be different.
People, the people I follow, people who are huge Bieber fans, and none of them are disappointed. So I mean, sure. Okay. If you feel like you got your money's worth, then great.
More power to you. I'm glad. Great. I'm glad that you did.
I'm glad that you feel like that was worth it. I think that you deserve more. Just somebody who is.
We're just here to just let you know. Not to settle.
I think you should deserve more. That's my whole thing with people are like, well, if Beyonce did this, she could do this and fans would eat it up. But Beyonce also respects her fans.
Beyonce would also do it she in knows such if you're paying, a classier way.
Beyonce just knows if you're paying like over $1,000 to be there, we're going to make it worth your time. We're going to make it worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I feel about it.
Yeah. And I agree. I have to,
because I posted a TikTok about it and people were like coming at me for it because they were like, how dare you compare Sabrina to Justin? I'm like, I'm not just comparing Sabrina. Like, it's just women in general.
No, because if I do feel like there's a double standard in the music industry in every single genre. Like, I feel like women always have to like
do black it women at top of that.
Oh, 100%. Do it bigger. Do it better. Do it louder. Do it more pretty, more colors, more lights, more dancers, more money. And then a guy can just go on stage and pull his hat down and shrug his shoulders and jump a little bit and everybody thinks it's great.
Oh my God. They're it's giving
it's mothers so of, sad when you think about it.
It's giving mothers of firstborn sons.
Wait, that is like the actual best comparison to this that I've ever thought about ever. That you've ever
that's
said.
What it's giving. That's what it's giving. You're it's like, giving oh my moms
god,
to sons.
My baby boy, he got out of bed today and put on a shoe. Oh my god, he did so good. He got so good. So good. It's like he breathes and it's like incredible. Never been done before.
I just really hope I saw a girl on TikTok. She dates one of the guys that's in Worship and they were playing at the same time as Justin Bieber. And she told her boyfriend that she was not going to go watch his set. She asked her boyfriend, can I go watch Justin Bieber instead of your set? Because she's seen his set like a billion times. And he said, yeah totally. If I was her, I hope you would have left and gone.
I know. Your I boyfriend be like, I wonder if she went back. I wonder if she went back.
I would have. But.
Wow. That's
what's
funny.
Your captivation though?
Captivation is.
I'm sorry. I want to wrap that up by just like saying, like, literally, you just won't ever catch me defending a man.
Yeah. No. I would never expect that. I would never expect that from you.
That's just what it is for me. You just won't ever expect me to defend a man ever. I'm so sorry. I don't care if it's Harry Styles. I'm still trash.
We need to hold these men to higher standards at the end of the day.
Yes. I'm looking out for you and your wallet. Okay. Anyways, moving on. What is your captivation?
So it's a musician. It's a new album. I've talked about Ella Langley before. I'm obsessed with her. I love her. I think she could take Lainey Wilson's title of like best female country artist. But she released...
Who is, and I believe Lainey Wilson's headline Stagecoach. And like,
oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Everyone loves Lainey. But Ella Langley just released her album Dandelion on Friday. It is so good. The very first, I think it's her intro and her outro, is a song called Froggy Went A-Courtin'. And her grandpa,
I'm sorry,
I don't know it. I've never heard it, but apparently some people's like grandparents, like, it must have been a song back in the day, but there's a video of her singing it. It's very like, you're gonna listen to it and be like, what the crap hillbilly hoedown throwdown is this shit? But like, the sentiment
I'm
is
so good,
the
actually.
Sentiment is really sweet. So her grandpa used to sing it to them growing up, and so then she did a rendition of it, and it's her intro and her outro. But I just love her. I think that she is a wonderful storyteller. I think her vocals are phenomenal. She is just really cool and beautiful. So I love it. I think if I had to pick like new songs that aren't like singles that she released off of it, I really like You and Me Time, and I really like I think it was I Gotta Quit and Something Simple. But it's a really good album. If you like country music, if you like Ella Langley, highly recommend putting it on, rolling your windows down and listening to it. Oh, and Broken. That's a really good one. I like that one a lot too. So yeah, that's my captivation. What is yours?
I've been watching the Apple TV show Your Friends and Neighbors this weekend as well. Mm-hmm. And I really have liked that show. It stars John Hamm. It also has like Olivia Munn, and it's really, really great. It is a like dark comedy drama in a way. It's basically about a man named Andrew Cooper, who is played by John Hamm, and he is a disgraced financier who starts robbing his wealthy neighbors after losing his job and marriage, only to get entangled into all of like their dangerous secrets. And
wow.
It's very much like, it's honestly very similar to a show I had in mind, which is fine.
Great, love that.
It's totally mine. But It's really great if you love like Big Little Lies, and you also love, I want to say like, if you also, not Mad Men, but like, because John Hamm's a Mad Men, but like this, the idea of like these wealthy people mm-hmm. having all these secrets, and then also like just the kind of character I feel like John Hamm plays in Mad Men is very similar to the character he has in this show as well too. So I really enjoy it. I feel like it's been really easy to like breeze through, and it's actually like a really good mystery. Like, I usually, just from like a screenwriting perspective, can usually figure out the mystery. Like, mm-hmm. there's someone dead and we're trying to figure out like,
Who did it?
Yeah. Of course, John Hamm's getting framed for it, but he's not the actual killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely have no idea
who
killed this person. And I'm like, sitting there watching, I'm like, okay, but like, who could it actually
like, who
be?
Actually did
like,
this?
I have no idea. So it's actually like pretty like suspenseful. And I really like the mystery behind it. But it's been really, I mean, Apple TV, I feel like, has just been putting out, them and HBO just put out hit after mm-hmm. hit. So I've been really enjoying that.
Nice. That sounds good.
Season two like just came out. So I've been trying to like watch season one to get caught up so I can be able to like watch it live as it airs.
Yeah. Nice.
Alrighty. Like fun. Well, we are going to keep talking about how women are still always held to higher standards than men are. But we're going to do a couple ad reads really quickly, and then we will be right back.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for. My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Okay, so I was researching the other day.
Yes.
About our podcast, and I found out like we were one of the top podcasts that comes up if you look up child-free women.
Wait, that's so amazing.
Iconic. I love that that is one of our monomers.
Wow, that is fantastic. Yeah, that's wild. But I mean, it's true. We're both child-free as of now.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I'm like, do I?
The text messages I've gotten from you this week as you've been working with children.
Is this, oh my gosh. I think that's partly part of it. When people are like, oh, like I definitely like thought you would be a mom by now. I'm like, I literally work with children 9 to 5.
You're a child. Like, I feel like you're a children right now. I'm still a child.
It would literally still be a teenage pregnancy in my mind. Like, I would definitely be afraid to tell my parents. Which is like so.
I hate the idea of announcing a pregnancy too. I just want to say that. Like, I've always hated the idea of announcing a pregnancy because, like, you just know what the implications of that mean.
Right. Like, I've also, like, I like scour the internet for like ideas for like one day and I'm like, I don't like any of these. Like, these are all so tacky and like, yeah.
I think it'd be so funny to never announce a pregnancy and then all of a sudden you just. Have a baby.
It's like
the same thing. Like, it's the same thing. Like with getting like married. It's like you just never announce that you have a boyfriend. All of a sudden, you're proposed.
Literally, I don't know if you follow Clara. I cannot say her last name. Clara Pierce. I think it's Purse or Pierce. Clara Pierce.
No.
Whatever.
Regardless, no.
She. I don't follow her like on YouTube or really like anything. But I saw her Instagram post, and it was just like a slideshow of her trip. And I was just swiping through, and then there was a ring. None of her followers even knew she had a boyfriend. That's and I was sweet. Like, that is, I literally was like, I said in my brain, I was like, this is how Emily's going to announce her engagement. It's going to be on like slide 7. Like, it's not even going to be
literally going to be in a carousel.
It's like beautiful photo of Emily, like where they're at, like beautiful drink, another beautiful shot, ring, like, and then just continues on, like not even like nothing in the caption to indicate anything.
Writing this down, actually.
Like, I do fear that is like so on brand.
The caption's just going to be like, let me upgrade you.
Yeah. And like, yeah, like something so cheeky, but no, I just. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I've been loving not having children. Like, I have so many friends.
First of all, you save so much money.
Holy cow. Yes, you do. And also, I will say, like, I think my dog surgery really put having children into perspective for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, yes, we have two dogs and they're our kids and they're fur babies and we love them. And they're, like, the closest things to kids that we have. So we have to care for them. We have to. You know, feed them. I was going to say clothes, but they don't wear clothes. It's like feed them, give them
don't
toys,
knock it till
give
you
them
try
treats.
It.
And so I don't know if I said on the podcast, but our older dog Trooper pulled his CCL, which is basically like an ACL in dogs.
Yes, human. Yeah.
So he had this really big invasive surgery. Well, it wasn't like terribly invasive, but he has like a plate in his knee now. So the recovery is like up to, it's like 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So he is like 24/7. And this is like definitely the closest to having my own child that I think I have gotten.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And I don't know how I like it.
No, I had this discussion with my friend like last year because her cat like was like.
Yes. Yeah.
We thought like on his deathbed. And she was like, how do people have children? Like.
Oh my god.
Like she's like she was like so emotional over the fact like about her like cat like not feeling well and not knowing what to do and like having to get all these tests done and she's just like this is a cat like how do people do this with children like when children get cancer and stuff
100% like I was so emotional the first like week just because like I know how important it was for like him to take his medications and he's a dog and so he eats around the pill and then spits it out and you know like we literally have resorted to making ground beef meatballs for this man to take his medications. And like, it's just an added layer of stress of like, I want to make sure I'm doing everything right on my end so that his knee heals properly so that he can run again. And it's a lot. It's a lot of stress. And so it kind of put it into perspective. And one of my coworkers was like, do you want kids? I was like, this is not the time to ask me, because right now the answer is hell no. The answer is no, we don't. Because even Blaine and I, like, we got a little bit like short-tempered towards him, because he was just like really being like, and I know, like, looking back, he didn't feel well. It is what it is. But like, we looked at each other and we were like, are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to actually be able to have children?
You can't talk to a baby. Babies can't talk either. They don't understand what the fuck you're saying either.
You can talk at them.
Yeah, you can talk at them. They don't know what the fuck you're saying. They can't talk back.
So it was just, it's been.
They're just crying for no fucking reason. And you just have to figure out like the mystery of why are we crying?
Yeah. Yeah. But also.
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
This is going to sound, and this kind of gets into the, I think, like kind of what we were wanting to chat about today. This is going to sound very selfish. Hear me out.
It probably isn't. I want to say it's probably not going to sound selfish to me at all. It's probably going to sound so responsible, but continue.
It really is. So, you know how you have your community of people and, you know, when people are going through like really stressful, really hard times, a lot of times people will, you know, bring you a coffee or set up a meal train or, you know, like give you any sort of like, it's going to be okay. Like,
yeah.
And it typically only happens when it's like with humans. Or like
people
that are married or people's like parents that are sick or their kids that are sick. And then you come to someone like me who doesn't have children, whose parents are very healthy, whose grandparents are still alive on both sides. Like, and I'm having a really stressful, hard time, like multiple things have hit the fan. Like, we have this really big surgery with our dog. Our other dog has to have a tooth removed. It's like dead. It's just this whole, it's just like a domino effect of things. Nothing. Not a single gesture has been made. And I just, it made me really sit back and think about like my friends that are single, my friends that are child free. Because, like, I'm married, so I do have, like, an additional support system, and I have had a lot of opportunities to be celebrated and to have been given gestures just from getting married. But I, like, it, like, put it into perspective that, like, no one gives a shit about us. Like, no one gives a shit about people that don't have children and that aren't married or, you know, whatever. And it's,
this is why, this is why wild. When my dog died, I told work that a family member died, because I was like, I can't say that my dog died. You're not going to fucking take me seriously and like tell me not to come into work. So because the reaction, I was like, I'm sorry. I birthed Chloe, my old dog. That she came out of me. I was a teen mom.
The day that my dogs die, I honestly, that week, I'm going to be unavailable. Like,
I will say whenever I had to do like a really dramatic crying scene now.
That's what you think about.
Oh, and I'm not the only person like this. I know Amanda Seyfried said that she cannot think about people or her children dying. She can only think about her animals dying. And because I also think about when I got the call that Chloe had died, my dad will tell you, the scream, the reaction, it was like the primal scream of like a literally the equivalent of like a mother, like when that scream you hear when a mother finds out that her child is dead.
Yeah.
Like, I like literally threw my phone on the ground, fell to my knees, and like screamed.
I know. And I didn't even hear your initial reaction. I just heard the follow-up phone call, like to let me know what had happened. And as soon as I answered that phone and I heard you, I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah.
It's just one of those things where I feel like there's a very large double standard in our society. And I even saw this like TikTok creator she made a series about how the child-free workers went on strike and all of the parent workers had to like step up. And it was like a
series. Was it like a parody? Was it like a parody version?
And I saw. And so it was just funny because all the like parent people were like, well, why can't they just do it? Like they don't have anything else better to do. And I hate, like I've actually been said, that has been said to me before and said to friends like, well, you guys can just stay late and do it because you don't have it. Basically, you don't have to go to child pickup. Yeah. And I'm like, you chose to have children. Like you chose that life and you also have chosen to continue working. So you need to be present. But it's just,
it's like, it's different to help every now and then, like if in an emergency, 100%. Like if you're in the middle of the workday and you find out that your kid gets into the principal's office and you have to go to school and everything. Right. There are circumstances, but it's like
I've had situations where like, my dog was throwing up profusely and I had to leave work and take her to the vet. Like there's always a possibility of something to happen.
And that's where the community can come in. But when you're taking advantage of because – yeah. And I will say – and I will – and this is not saying that we are against mothers. No. Mothers are some of the hardest working people in the entire world.
100%. And I support moms. And like almost everybody I know from like college is a mom.
If you want to have children, that is great. I want you to have the ability to have children. There are some women out there that I can tell when I meet them, you are meant to have children. You are meant to be a mother. You have just a maternal instinct about you. And I think you're one of those people. I think you have a very maternal instinct about you.
Yeah.
And
I want to be a mom, but just not right now.
Yeah. And that's fine. And I would like you to hold off as long as possible. But it is this the sense of that, like, yes, mothers are like parents in general do have a lot of shit stacked up against them. Like the fact that school lets out at 3 p.m. and most parents don't get off work until 5 p.m.
Right.
That is, and then you wonder why you have latchkey kids and you wonder why, you know, you don't feel connected to your children anymore. I'm very appreciative that growing up, my nana, my grandmother picked me up and took me to school every day if my mother couldn't. I am so appreciative of that, except for the one time in middle school when everybody fucking forgot to pick me up. School got out at 2 p.m. and it wasn't until almost 5 o'clock when the principal was coming out of her workday being like, Emily, like, why are you still here? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, you realize you could call your parents. And I'm like, I don't have a phone number.
I don't know what to do.
I 32 years old. I never let my parents live that down.
That is so funny. That is so funny.
But yes, that's shitty. And that sucks. That is 3 p.m. You still have to work. And like you are working in an office. You don't have the luxury of having a work from home job where you could skedaddle for a couple seconds to go pick up your kid.
Yeah.
Make alternative arrangements for your kid to be picked up, like take the bus, carpool with somebody.
Most schools have after school care programs now too.
Yep.
And I also like from – I've worked in the schools and I like have a lot of teacher friends and they get a lot of hate for like school closures and like Christmas break and all of that. And they're like, oh – and they're like at the end of the day, like school is not childcare. Like, isn't.
No.
It isn't. So I also feel for the teachers and, like, principals and the people that make the decisions, especially, like, where we live where we have bad weather. Like, parents are always so quick to judge. And I'm like, would you rather your kid get on a bus and die from ice? Or would you rather figure out a different place for them to be for a day?
I'll never forget. I always, because I will never forget, when I was still in North Carolina and I worked with mothers at my part-time jobs, and they would complain about the two-hour delay sometimes because it put off everything and they having to go to work and stuff. And they would be like, this is so stupid, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, I knew a kid that we didn't have a two-hour delay. He hit black ice and died. So I'm fine with two-hour delays being a thing if that means that some kid won't hit black ice on their way to school that morning and
100%, die. 100%.
That's fine. Like, that's the thing where I think about, no, where I go from being, when I say, like, I will not judge you if you think, like, it's a selfish reason. Like, I saw a creator post about this, and it articulated my exact thoughts of why I'm currently on the mindset of being child free, not just because I don't have a partner or anything like that. I don't want to be a single mother. Unless I am a millionaire and can afford like a nanny,
right? A full-time nanny to be there with you to like help while you continue on your beautiful career path.
I don't want to be a parent to a child that needs full-time care for their entire life, like a child that is born like handicapped and depends on me solely. Because I don't have the mental capacity to handle that.
Yeah.
I don't. It is so much work. Mm-hmm. Props to any parent that is able to do that. But that, I mean, and people villainize this girl for saying that. But everybody who's single, a lot of people who are child free are like, no, that's actually like super responsible that I'm opting not to have children because I don't want to have that responsibility. Yeah.
Well, I think that's not something that you can control either.
No, because
so it is one of those situations where like if that's not something like you have to consider all possibilities when you have a child. And I mean, I work in the special needs population every single day and I see how exhausted these parents are, especially are more medically, it's more like medically complex, but it's also our kiddos who are not as medically complex.
Not even just that, like physical, where they are like born paralyzed. It's a thing that can happen. And it's just like, that is just already another hurdle that like, I already have so much anxiety, depression and my ADHD. Like I already am like, do I even need to have kids? Cause I don't know if they want to have this ADHD. Like, I don't know if we need to pass this down.
Yeah. but I, from a special needs provider, like I think that is very mature and responsible to admit to yourself, because I think that's a very hard thing to admit. But I think that if you haven't considered all possibilities and
that's the thing, you're not, I don't think a lot of people do.
And you're okay with all of those possibilities, you're okay with that, then I think that that's totally fine. But I think that it is something that you should consider because it is a possibility. Like you never know what could happen. So
because
even after the kid is here, even if your kid has I know someone personally who paralyzed themselves on a trampoline. They were older. They were a part of a dive team. And it's one of those things where that could happen at any moment. And you are their caregiver at that point. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of times people jump into being pregnant because they want to be pregnant and they want to be a mom. And I understand that. And that is all fine and well. But if you have not truly thought about what that means.
Because it's not just 18 years. It's your entire life.
Oh, my gosh. I still call my mom for things. I'm like, hello, Christy.
Yes.
Can you please help me with I have a question. Do these pillows look good on this couch? Like
I call my mom every freaking night and she's like, it's 11 p.m. on the East Coast. Like I am trying to go to bed.
And I'm like, your daughter, and you're going to answer the phone every time I call. Thank you.
I'm like, well, I just had the greatest idea in the entire world. I need someone to talk to about it. And you're here. So like you now have to listen to me talk forever about
this.
And
I think my mom will be the first to say like, that worry that you have about your children being safe, like it doesn't go away just because they go to college. It doesn't go away just because they get married. Like my parents still worry about us. You saw how protective
you saw how nervous I got if my dog was outside without a leash because I was terrified that she was going to run into the road and get hit. We lived in a cul-de-sac, bitch. What fucking car is going to hit her? I was like, if I'm this way with my dog.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what it would be like.
I just feel like there needs to be a shift in the narrative. Like, I think so many say that, like, people that are child-free are so selfish. And I'm like, I almost feel like it's selfless in a way.
And I will also say, too, there's been people who have said, like, a lot of people who choose to be child-free are super, like, they've thought about it a long time. They're super responsible. I will also say, though, too, and I agree with the person that made this comment. Some of these people who are very intellectual and smart about it and, like, emotionally cognizant and emotionally responsible need to be the ones that are having kids at the same time because we can't allow the population to be filled with people who are just reckless and, yeah. So I'm like, okay, maybe we should.
That I've not thought about. You know, that is not something that I have thought about, that, like, some people should definitely – what's the word? Procreate? Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Procreate, yeah, procreate.
So that we have more people like you become adults and like leaders and, you know, yes, all kinds of things.
Because I would argue that a lot of people who are choosing to be child-free would also in the same way be great parents in that too.
100%. 100%.
Like, I have no – here's another thing too. I don't want to raise a man. If there's a way – and apparently you can, like, with IVF.
Yeah. I think you can pick the sex.
Yeah.
That you implant.
I don't want to have a boy. I don't want to raise. First of all, and it's not just like a like fuck men kind of idea. It's the idea of like, I didn't have brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an only child. I'm an only granddaughter. On top of that, I didn't grow up around boys.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know the first
thing, literally
about raising a man. I don't know how to do that.
I know. Well, and it's also scary to think about raising a child in general. Like, the way that you respond and react and emote and communicate, mm-hmm, like, shapes this human. And the, like, first 3 years is so formative. And a lot of times that's when everyone is in childcare because we can't afford to be home because we have to work.
Oh, I've openly said if I ever had children, I want the first 2 years off of work. Because I know how formative like, those first 2 years are.
It's one of those things where, like, the more and more that, like, we talk about having kids, the more I'm like, oh, we got to save some money. Like, we got to save up some money so that I can take some
time
off.
Or you move to California and you join the entertainment industry and you're in a union. Because I will say one of my good guy friends, him and his wife, mm-hmm, did not plan. They had a baby in November. They did not plan this pregnancy. It just happened.
Yep.
And thankfully, he was in a position where he is making upwards to six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And she is very content in her job. And they are financially in a great place. But because he is part of IATSE, which is one of the unions out here in the film industry,
mm-hmm,
that childbirth was free.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to pay for any of the checkups, the birthing, anything like that. Because it was a unionized standard insurance plan with one of the hospitals out here. They didn't have to pay hardly anything.
Yeah.
And so those are aspects that you have to think about, mm-hmm, when it comes to – I also think about one of my other friends from North Carolina who, late into her pregnancy when she went to go find out the sex of her child, when they also did the genetic testing, also found out that her child had Turner syndrome. Mm-hmm. And so that if she went through with this pregnancy, the baby would die. It also put her life at a very high risk too. There was a chance that if she went through with this, she could die in childbirth and the baby probably would only have like a month to live outside of the womb. She had to go to another state in order to terminate that pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because it was illegal in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And that is so heartbreaking. And she didn't want to it's not like she wanted to like terminate this pregnancy.
Yeah.
But the idea, and this is the one thing I've said too, like if I'm married and have a child, like save me. We can have another child. Save me.
Yep.
Because, and I know so many men that are on that same boat. They're like, I don't want to raise this baby alone. I don't want my baby to not have a mother.
No, I told my husband that. I was like, if it's me or the baby, like, please choose me and we'll try again or we won't. Like, also the fact that it's 2026 and people are still dying, giving children is absolutely bizarre.
It is a life or death thing for women when they are pregnant. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I remember too when my guy friend out here was pregnant, because they're both black. And I was like, black women, like how they are treated in pregnancy, like, is abysmal. And I was just like, it is a high risk thing. It is life threatening. Mm-hmm. It can get complicated.
Yeah. And like, it's beautiful and cool and all, but is it also, why does it have to be so tragic?
You should.
I know.
Your vagina rips to your ass.
Do you know what I found out that I didn't know? They insert a cath. You have a catheter also.
No.
Yeah.
Go follow just the girl with the list. She mm-hmm. has like 400 reasons as to why not to have.
There are a lot of we like talked about it at lunch one day at work and I was like, I wish I hadn't known that, because now I'm like, not only am I going to shit in front of somebody, but you're going to stick a catheter in me? No, thank you. I don't like this. And then I also have to have this thing in my back to numb my entire body.
Well, and then, you know, on top of that, you might have to have a C-section instead. And then all of your organs are just like out on a table.
C-sections freak me out so bad. I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. And that's like also like one of those things where it's not really, I mean, it's up to you, but like at the end of the day, like if you're going to die, they're going to have to cut you open. The thing has to come out somehow. Anyways. Yeah. So
I'm more scared of the pregnancy than anything because
I'm more scared of the birth, I think.
The pregnancy, like, it feels like alien. Like, there's the fact that there's something inside of me kicking.
That's so true. Like, there's a thing in there. It is. And it's a long time. That your body is not yours. You know?
Want me to go 9 months without – not forget it's the fact that I can't have sushi. It's basically 10.
I hate when people are like, 9 months. I'm like, it's 40 weeks, bruh.
Forget the fact that I can't have sushi. Forget the fact that I can't have sushi for that amount of time. That's fine. You want me to go that long without my medication?
Yeah, I know. I'm very
– That's not – I'm so sorry. Like, I don't think that's a good idea for the public.
I fear this would be very interesting to see Emily that long without the things that she loves. Sushi. And being able to function sometimes.
Just being able to be a human being.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I think I'm just tired of the narrative that child-free people are selfish. You don't have anything better to do with your time. Like, you don't have a life. Like,
but I will say, you also witnessed firsthand what it's like to have a stay-at-home mother because your mom like didn't work for majority. She worked when you were when it was just you.
And when it was just me and my sister. And then she worked for part of my brother's childhood part-time. And then the reason she ended up not working was because my dad had to travel so much for his job that we had to have somebody at home. And my mom was a nurse.
That's exactly how my my nana and my papa were. Like, he traveled so much that like my nana just
and it worked out and it's great, and I think my mom is bored now, but like it's one of those things where even being a stay-at-home mom, like, you're giving up a lot to be home and care for the children, and a lot of the times you're just in the car playing pickup. Like, pick up and drop off. Like,
pick you up and drop you off. Pick you up and drop you off. Pick you up and drop you off. Like what Marcelo Hernandez says.
Literally.
Pick you up and drop you off. Pick you up and drop you off. Pick you up and drop you off. Pick you up and wait.
It's literally, like, when I think of stay-at-home moms, they're like, oh my God, I'm going to, like, do so many errands while they're at school. I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to do, like, one thing. And then you're going to have to go back and get in the pickup
line. Because also, you're usually playing the maid. You're also playing, like, the chef. Mm-hmm. You're also, like, the butler. Like, you're the chauffeur. Like, you're running all the kids
everywhere. Where is the time for you?
Yeah.
Where is the time for you?
And you're not getting paid for any of it. Yeah.
Free labor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the moral of the story is just, like, I don't know. Like, just being more cognizant of, like, people making their own choices.
Moral of the story is, oh, I think God. A lot more people, because I'm trying to tie it all back together.
Yeah,
I would be so much more open to being a parent if I could be a father.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't expect any of this bullshit from men. Because they're championed when they're watching the kids. Oh my God, you got him to babysit? He's the father. He's literally doing his job as a parent, watching his children.
I cannot stand it when someone tells me that they can't come do something because they have to get the kids ready for bed. I'm like, don't they have a dad? Don't they have a dad that knows the bedtime routine? Or do they not know it? Do they not do it? Do you do it every night? Like that, I'm like, what kind of a team are you? Because it sounds like there's one player. It sounds like there's one player, and it is not the man. When I see a stay-at-home dad, I'm like, I do applaud, because I'm like,
my friend, my friend who just, my guy friend who just had a baby, his wife is returning to work. He luckily, you know, for most of the time, there's not all the time, but for half of the year, he works on a television show. So half the year he gets to work from home.
Yeah.
Other half the year he has to be on set. When he gets to be at home, he's like, that's his dream, was to be a stay-at-home dad. He's like, I get to hang out with a baby all day? Like, that sounds hang out great.
At home with a child? Heck yeah.
He's like, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, we can just, you know, play around. Like, I have somebody I can talk to, and they can just, like, you know, like, all this stuff. Like, he, like, loves the idea of doing it. He also is, like, the definition of somebody who's just, like, obsessed with their wife. Like, he's fully aware that he is just Ken. Like, he, like, wants Barbie to go out and, like, fulfill her dreams, like, every single day. And he's just so happy that, like, she's still, like, in love with him. He's just like, I'm just so thankful that she still thinks I'm hot.
And I'm like, that's the enthusiasm we need from all fathers. Like, we just need – it needs to feel like a team. So, yeah, I don't exactly know how to wrap this up, but
– I think it's, you know, to go back to, like, your main, like, thesis of being, like, you didn't feel like you were getting checked in enough.
Yeah, because I don't have children. Like, that's what it's – I think that's what the – the energy and not even, I guess, like, slight anger. Just, like, check on your friends. Just. Like, celebrate your child-free friends. Check on your child-free friends. Like, I had one person.
Especially, and also, even furthermore, your single friends, too. Because that is an issue that I have talked about with my other single friends on top of that, too, is that we shell out money left and right to go to people's weddings. Mm-hmm. And we don't ever.
And then when they're pregnant, then their baby shower. And then
also, it just continues on. I think when you get to baby number two, I think having a baby shower is stupid.
I agree.
Unless you had a girl first and now you're having a boy.
That was going to be my hot take was, as long as if it's a different gender, sure, fine. But at the same time, like, you really only need clothes. Because you should be able to use the same. I mean, unless they have – I know there's some, like, weird laws.
Your boy can have a pink pacifier. It's okay.
Yeah, I think there's some weird laws with, like, the how long the car seats last or things like that. But
that's fair.
That's fair.
That's fair.
That's a different story. But,
like, you don't need separate, like, sippy cups.
No.
With dinosaurs instead of Barbie
on them. Just get, like, not everything pink. Just get pink. Yellow. Yeah, just, like, get yellow. Green, gray, blue, pink. I mean, honestly, nobody cares. At the end of the day, the moms don't even care. They think they're going to care.
The baby can barely see color at that point.
The baby will probably not even like that cup. Let's be so for real. I see it every day.
He's going to want your plastic Starbucks cup over everything.
I see it every day. They'll, like, buy, like, 7 bottle systems, and then the one they didn't purchase is the one that the kid can use. And I'm like, you wasted your money. They're like, we bought them all. And I was like, none of these are good. It's not that. It's something else.
We bought all 7 dwarfs from the Snow White collection, but he just wants my plastic Starbucks cup. You know what? Why are you going to argue with him? He can't speak back to you. Truly, that's an unfair fight.
Truly.
Like,
I just think that we need to celebrate. I think we celebrate moms. I think we celebrate brides. I think we celebrate fiancés very well. But I think that it's time that we kind of shift our energy and celebrate our single friends, whether that's, like, they get a promotion or they buy a house. Like, I think we need to just be more intentional with those things. I will say there was one person in my circle who I'm not even, like, super close to that, like, brought me a latte and a baked good and was like, I hope you have a better day. Like, I know you're stressed about this situation. And I thought that was really thoughtful. And, like, she didn't have to do that, but it was one of those things where it was like, oh, like, somebody thought about that. And I just think that I think, like, we can all be better about doing it doesn't have to be huge. Also, it can be, like, a very small, like, let me Venmo you $5 for coffee this morning because I know you had a bad day.
Literally, like, when I lost my job, like, I'm no longer friends with this person, but there was somebody who came over to my apartment, like, that brought me, like, a chai and, like, a brownie, and just, like, she's like, I figured you didn't want to be alone, so, like, I'm just going to come over.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a nice gesture.
Yes.
And
it doesn't have to be a hoopla, but it could also be a nice party every now and then.
You can also have a party. Like, I stand by my theory that if more women celebrated their 30th birthday in a bigger way, like you celebrate your sweet 16, I think less women would be getting married before their age of 30, because I think some of you just want to have the wedding and the party.
Some of you just want to be in your bridal era.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to wear the white dresses.
When I see your Instagram carousel and the main photo is the ring and it's not about the love that you have with this person, it's about the fact that you are now a bride. Baby girl, I'm begging you to get worth, self-worth outside of a man. I'm begging for you to find worth outside of a man.
Yeah, please. For real.
Please, please, please.
Yeah.
But also in a way that I'm going to be selfish and not maybe procreate. I think more people who are emotionally intelligent should be procreating because we need more smarter babies.
It's the moral of the story.
That's the moral of the story.
Smarter babies and a bunch of women. Thank you.
Yes. When are we going to get to the point that we don't need men to procreate? I can't wait for that point. I hope that's around the corner sometime soon. Come on, NASA, get it together. Oh I don't know. NASA's not even in charge of it, but like, I'm sure they can find some way to help us out with that. I don't know.
They can connect us somehow.
I don't know. I'm still emotional over the Artemis 2 landing, so maybe we'll find a way.
That was sweet.
Maybe on the moon. Maybe on the moon. But
maybe.
I hope you gals enjoyed this episode. Let us know what you think. If you're a Bieber, a believer, I'm so sorry if you were offended by this episode.
So sorry. Too bad.
We're allowed to not like it. But
we can have our opinions.
She ran. All right, gals, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us on Apple or Spotify and give us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Gals Guide Pod and on TikTok at The Gals Guide. And thanks for tuning in, gals. Catch you later.